Welcome to the Improving Development Evaluation Podcast. I'm your host, David Wand, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 2, where we're going to feature the international development organization called Doctors of the World. And if I recall correctly, they are located in Montreal, Canada. They have received $14,886,968, according to the Government of Canada Global Affairs Canada Project Browser website, for a project they are delivering in the West African country of Burkina Faso. And the name of that project is called Access to Health Rights in Northern Burkina Faso. And you can learn more about Doctors of the World, the International Development Organization, at their website, www.medicinesdumonde.ca, Medicine du Monde, I think, .ca. And in this project of $14 million, courtesy of the Canadian taxpayer, there were 8 expected outcomes to be achieved from delivering services in Burkina Faso for that cost of $14 million. And for those 8 outcomes, they had 15 outcome indicators that they used from the performance measurement framework to see whether or not those 8 expected outcomes had been achieved. My review of those 15 outcome indicators indicated that 13 out of the 15 were not valid measures of the expected outcomes, and therefore Doctors of the World cannot make the claim that even if those outcomes were achieved, they cannot claim that the project costing $14 million was responsible for the achievement of those expected outcomes. Before I go into detail about those outcome indicators and the outcomes, I'm going to give a brief description of what the project from the performance measurement framework actually delivered. And at any time, if you're interested in getting the performance measurement framework plus the critique in an Excel sheet that I have, you can email me at evaluatecanadaaid@gmail.com, and I would be happy to email those documents to you. So let's begin with a brief description of the project. The project in Burkina Faso, delivered by Doctors of the World, has roughly 16 target groups, and each one of those target groups receives a certain amount of services. And with those services, they expect some of those target groups to achieve certain expected outcomes. So starting with target group number 1, International Dialogue Forum participants. They are supposed to receive from Doctors of the World presentations at these international forums to advocate for access to health. Second target group, authorities and stakeholders in Burkina Faso at local and national level. And they are to receive from Doctors of the World presentations to this target group to advocate for access to health. Target group number 3 are community and religious leaders, and they are to receive support in, quote, facilitating awareness sessions. Target group number 4, peer educators. They are supposed to receive trained sessions to promote to men and boys their responsibility on their right to health, sexual reproductive health, and gender-based violence. Target group number 5, men and boys, they are receiving training on the right to health, sexual reproductive health, and fighting gender-based violence in, quote, targeted areas. Target group number 6, civil society organizations, they are trained on how to promote health rights, sexual reproductive health, and fighting gender-based violence. Target group number 7 are women and their allies, and they're trained and mobilized for the right to health, sexual reproductive health, and the fight against gender-based violence. Target group number 8 are women and girls, and they are sensitized and supported on health and gender-based violence in, quote, targeted areas. Target group number 9 are families with children under 5, and in targeted areas, they are trained on the mid-upper arm circumference measure to enable them to detect nutritional edema and make referrals. Target group 10 are communities, women, men, and adolescents in these communities. They are to be sensitized on primary health care services, sexual reproductive health, and gender-based violence. Target group 11 are community-based health agents and community relays, and they are to be trained on prevention, care, and referral for primary health care, sexual reproductive health, and gender-based violence. Target group number 12, it's not clear who exactly they are, but these are people that are accepting referrals to treat women and girls, and they're trained on referrals treated with no financial charge to patients. So I guess what that means is they're treating patients that they've received referrals from, women and girls, where they're not going to be charging them for services. Target group number 13 are health providers. They're trained in epidemic management and rapid response during a humanitarian emergency. Target group number 14 is remote areas. And this is where mobile clinics go to those remote areas, deploy to deliver free medical services, including sexual reproductive health services. Target group 15 are supervision teams, and they're trained on, quote, provider supervision techniques. And finally, target group 16, I don't know what the acronym stands for, FOSA, FOSA. They are supervised and supported to deliver primary health care and treat gender-based violence cases. So that gives you an idea of the target groups and the services delivered at a cost of roughly $14 million. So now we're going to look at the eight outcomes, and for those eight outcomes, the 15 indicators that were used to measure whether or not those eight outcomes were achieved. And there could even be more, but from my review of the performance measurement framework, this is what I figured out were the eight expected outcomes. The first one was, and I quote, increased mobilization of actors to take into account gender inequalities, in particular, sexual reproductive health issues in emergency response. The outcome indicator, number one, actors involved is measured enough, and also there's no comparison or control group outside of the targeted areas for this project, so we don't know if the number of actors outside of the project also were involved in issues of gender inequality and access to health in the response emergency. So keeping with the trailer for season two, this would violate the Development Assistance Committee criteria on impact because there's no comparison group or control group. So they can't make a claim that any difference they see in this indicator, such as an increase in the number of actors, could happen anyways, regardless of the project. So it violates the impact criteria for the Development Assistance Committee. And this is a big thing in international development where you'll see they often go to these five questions or issues of evaluation in the Development Assistance Committee criteria. One, relevance. Two, coherence. Three, effectiveness. Four, efficiency, and five, impact, and six, sustainability. So in this performance measurement framework and this project, most of the violations are on impact. They just simply can't claim that the project is responsible for achieving the outcomes. So indicator number two for this same outcome is the number of advocacy priorities taking into account gender inequalities, in particular, sexual reproductive health issues in the emergency response presented to the authorities for consideration in local and national policies. Again, problem is it's not measured frequently enough and there's no comparison group. If we look at the performance measurement framework, I can't see it right here. I'm claiming it's not measured very frequently. It's probably measured only once every 6 months, the first one that we just covered. So anything could happen in 6 months between those measures. Actors in other communities outside of the project could also be getting mobilized. And it's the same for this indicator here, indicator number two. They're only measuring it every 6 months. And the other thing that's interesting here, and it's been done before, is presented to the authorities for consideration in local and national policies. A policy is just a piece of paper. What you could do instead is just see if expenditures addressing gender inequalities has gone up. Actually, expenditures, not the budget that they claim they're going to spend, but after, what have they actually, follow the money and see if it's been spent. So, for example, did they spend money to increase enrollment of girls in primary schools? Or did the number of girls or women with access to sexual reproductive health services, the number of visits free of charge, actually go up thanks to maybe an increase in expenditures in that area by the government? So that would be better measures rather than this advocacy priority taking into account gender inequalities. Just see if after the advocacy, did they actually result in increased expenditures? And again, you could still argue, even if it goes up, the expenditures, it may have nothing to do with the project. That's why you need to have some sort of comparison group or control group. The next outcome is called increased co-responsibility of men and adolescents in favor of access for all to the right to health in the targeted areas. And the outcome indicator for this outcome, this is outcome indicator number 3 for outcome number 2. Proportion of men and adolescents who participated in project activities who report having adopted behaviors in favor of equitable gender norms. Obviously, there's self-reporting bias there. They're going to say, sure, I adopted the right behaviors, because it's hard to measure the behaviors directly. So self-reporting is going to have a bias. So even more importantly here, you need another comparison group outside of the project where men and boys weren't being engaged with to change their attitudes, right? So that is what you need to do here. And again, this violates the impact criteria, the DAC, Development Assistance Committee criteria, because we don't have a control group. We can't claim that the men and boys outside of the quote targeted areas also had a preferable shift in attitude. We just don't know. So we need to measure men and boys in areas outside of where the project is going on. And this is a challenge, of course, but it should be at least attempted. So again, for that increased co-responsibility outcome, there's another indicator they use, outcome indicator number 4, proportion of men and adolescents participating in activities that have, quote, increased their knowledge of the right to health, including sexual reproductive health and the fight against gender-based violence. Now here, you're measuring knowledge levels, which is fine. But again, what you need to do is have a comparison group, because their knowledge levels could go up anyways in other areas where they're not operating the project. So again, this violates the impact criteria for the Development Assistance Committee criteria on evaluation. The next outcome, number 3, is strengthened capacities of women and adolescent girls affected by the conflict to exercise their right to health, in particular with regard to sexual reproductive health in the targeted areas. And the outcome indicator number 5 for that is proportion of women and adolescent girls participating in the empowerment program who have, quote, increased their knowledge of sexual reproductive health. So again, if you want to show an increase in knowledge, you have to show due to the project. So ideally what you'd like to do is find a comparison group of women and adolescent girls outside of the project and see how their knowledge levels are going before, during, and after the project. And then you could show, again, that the project is having some statistically significant one-tail positive effect, right? Just to find some women and girls not in the project areas. Another option is, if you don't want to use control groups, you could just measure more frequently and just show that the knowledge levels are going up rather than just a pre and a post-test level. I'd have to look at the performance measurement framework in detail to see how frequently they measure this. Another outcome indicator for this strength and capacity of women and girls, specific to their knowledge levels, is, quote, number of new initiatives in favor of sexual reproductive health or the right to health taken by influential women and their allies. So this is a separate group of women who take it up. And again, there's no comparison group here. So this violates the impact criteria. And here I have made a note. According to the performance measurement framework, this is only measured once a year. So we could experience this increase anyways in between the time that the women and girls are trained on their capacity for their right to health in targeted areas and whether or not these new initiatives have been taken up by influential women and their allies. So it's only measured once a year anyways. So even without the control group, once a year is not frequent enough. Outcome number four, women and adolescent girls sensitized and supported in terms of health and gender-based violence in targeted areas. And outcome indicator number seven for that outcome number four is proportion of women and adolescent girls in the community who have completed the health, sexual reproductive health, and gender-based violence empowerment program in targeted areas. That's just attendance, showing up. But that doesn't indicate how many, quote, got sensitized. They showed up for the program, but did they get sensitized? Whatever that means, from receiving that empowerment program. So it's just attendance. So what they need to do is find a better indicator to actually measure that sensitization due to the empowerment program that they have received. And I also looked at the performance measurement framework and noticed the annual empowerment program activity reports once a year. So again, it's not very frequent. If they want to show that their sensitivity levels have gone up or their empowerment levels have gone up, they have to measure more frequently than just once a year and then get a better indicator rather than just showing up in attendance who completed the program, which is what they currently have. And also maybe have a comparison group if they can. Here is it's a good example of how the indicator fails to validly measure the outcome in the first place, where they're just taking attendance rather than measuring any levels of sensitivity or empowerment. So outcome number five, community and religious leaders, quote, strengthened and mobilized for the promotion of the right to health for all, including sexual reproductive health, including the fight against gender-based violence. This was initially reported as an output, but strengthening suggests the ability to advocate and promote, so I considered it an outcome. The outcome indicator for this is the number of community and religious leaders supported in facilitating awareness sessions. This would suggest just attendance. They're not really looking at their ability to mobilize, their ability to advocate, and their ability to promote. So again, the indicator fails to measure any increases in the ability to promote health rights for all. It only shows the number who were supporting in facilitating awareness sessions, but no measure showing that their ability to promote health rights for all has been strengthened. So they should introduce a measure that shows that those who attended the community and religious leaders who delivered the awareness sessions experienced increases in awareness, preferably an indicator and measurement tool that has been shown to be a valid measure of the ability to promote health rights for all and increase awareness, plus measuring those who attended on their awareness levels against a non-project target group. So outcome number six, increased capacity of conflict affected communities, especially women and adolescent girls, to utilize primary health care services, including sexual reproductive health. Outcome indicator nine for this outcome number six, proportion of women, men, and adolescents targeted by the project who can name at least three types of modern contraceptive methods. Again, this is a knowledge indicator. So if you want to show that the project services targeting these particular individuals has increased their knowledge on contraception, you need to have a comparison group or a control group. So this, again, violates the impact criteria for the Development Assistance Committee criteria on evaluation. The performance measurement framework shows that the percent is measured at the start, middle, and end of the project, but no mention of a control or comparison group. So with a control group and the statistical sampling, they mention in the performance measurement framework, they actually mention it. They could complete, if we follow their interest in statistics, a one-tailed hypothesis test and see with 95% confidence if they can claim that the percent increases were statistically significant and due to the project training. So that's what they have to do. Otherwise, right now, it violates the DAC criteria on impact because they're not showing that their project group is statistically significantly greater in terms of the percentages who can name at least three types of modern contraceptive methods. Another outcome indicator for that, outcome number six, this is outcome number indicator number 10, proportion of women, men, and adolescents, quote, who have improved their knowledge during training and awareness raising on the use of primary health care services, including sexual reproductive health. Same issue, no comparison or control group. And they, according to the performance measurement framework, they only measure this once before the training and after the training. So that could show an increase due to the training. But if we don't have a control group or a comparison group, you could show also another group of women who didn't show up for the training somewhere else in the country, who also just over time increased their knowledge levels and awareness levels. So that has to be taken into account. And once again, that violates the DAC, Development Assistance Committee criteria on impact evaluation. Outcome number 7, improving the social, community, and political environment in favor of the right to health, in particular sexual and reproductive rights and gender equality for women and adolescent girls affected by the conflict in northern Burkina Faso. Outcome indicator 11 for this outcome number 7, proportion of women, men, and adolescents targeted by the project having improved their behavior in favor of sexual and reproductive rights. This is tricky because I'm assuming having improved their behavior, this has to be self-reporting, which is biased. And again, no control group or comparison group outside of the project. So even if these percentages increase, you need a control group where these women, men, and boys have not received the various trainings, etc., from this project. Their behaviors could also increase. So the DAC impact criteria is not met here also. Same in outcome number 7. We have another outcome indicator number 12, number of sexual reproductive health initiatives undertaken by civil society organizations that seek to mitigate traditional practices harmful to women and adolescent girls. According to the performance measurement framework, this is only measured once per year. And again, there's no control group. So even if you don't have a control group or a comparison group outside of the project, you could measure it more frequently, and that might help in allaying concerns that these initiatives would happen anyways, regardless of the trainings that these women, men, and adolescents, or CSOs, civil society organizations, receive to uptake these initiatives. So that's the other problem there. Again, no control group, no comparison group. So the DAC criteria of impact cannot be claimed to be achieved. Another indicator for this same outcome, outcome indicator number 13, number of national policies or guidelines adopted or revised, taking into account gender inequalities, in particular, sexual reproductive health issues in the emergency response. Outcome indicator 13. Now, again, you could argue here that the number of national policies adopted or revised is really not related to the outcome of improving the political environment in favor of the right to health, in particular, the right to access to sexual reproductive health services, because, as I mentioned earlier, a policy is just a piece of paper. A better measure would be an actual increase in the amount and percentage of the government budget that was actually spent on women and girls, specific to accessing sexual reproductive health and gender-based violence services. So even though they have a policy on a piece of paper, do they actually put their money where their policy is? This is a common sort of indicator that many governance organizations, when monitoring governance and government institutional performance, look at. Because they can have all the policies in the world, but really what you need to do is follow the money, especially when it comes to, in this project, they are doing a large portion of this $14 million in advocacy. So really what you should be doing is tracking government expenditures. Outcome number 8, increased enjoyment of rights relating to health, in particular, sexual and reproductive health of women, men, girls, and boys affected by the conflicts in northern Burkina Faso. Here we have 2 indicators, and I look at these indicators and I think they're fairly universal in this area. And the first indicator, outcome indicator number 14 of the project, is percentage age 15 to 19 who have given birth to their first child who are pregnant with their first child. And the idea clearly there is to try to reduce this percentage. And I think it's a universal global indicator that's used, which is fine. The indicator is a valid measure of the outcome of increased access and enjoyment of rights relating to health. And what is tricky here is this is the only indicator where you could argue it is a valid measure, but again, all of the services I described for those 16 target groups that this $14 million is paying for in the delivery of services to those target groups, and you're hoping that this indicator will go down, that's fine. But to show that, you need to have some sort of comparison group, or ideally in the demographic health survey, they call it, where they measure this. One of the questions on that demographic health survey should be, by the way, did you participate in any way, shape, or form in the Doctors of the World project paid for by Global Affairs Canada? And right there, you could do a split and see, without getting too methodologically complex here, because I don't claim I'm a statistician, happy to get emails saying, sorry, that's not how you do it. But at least we could compare the two groups when we do the survey. And those who say no, what was their rate of pregnancy between age 15 to 19 compared to the group that said, yeah, I did show up at those awareness sessions on contraception? And then you could do a comparison. But right now, I don't see that in the performance measurement framework. It's a great indicator, but we don't know if the project for $14 million actually contributed to a reduction in that percentage, age 15 to 19, that reported being pregnant. We just don't know. And finally, the last outcome indicator, number 15, proportion of women who have decided to use family planning alone or jointly with their husband or partner. Again, an excellent indicator that suggests if this project is successful and has an impact, quote unquote, this indicator would be going up. The proportion of women who have decided to use family planning would be going up, and it would be going up statistically, significantly, compared to a group of women who were not participating in the project. So ideally what you want to know, if this question is being asked in the demographic health survey, did they participate in this Doctors of the World Burkina Faso project in any way? And then you could see if the project was in any way responsible for contributing to this increased improvement and performance on that indicator. So that's my summary. And as I'll repeat, I would say in its current form right now, the performance measurement framework is flawed. and the project and Doctors of the World cannot make the claim that their $14 million project is achieving the outcomes that they claim they're achieving in the project. So now I'm going to send this episode to the Minister for International Development along with the shadow critics. And I'm also going to invite Doctors of the World to provide a written response to this critique, and also an invitation if they wish to be on the podcast to respond to the critique. And if that happens, we'll be doing another episode. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for a further episode. And I do have some good news that we have located in the United States the actual grant for an American USAID project that was funded to an implementing partner. And so hopefully that will in turn result in getting the activity monitoring evaluation learning plan. And then we can critique that, which is similar to these Canadian performance measurement frameworks. Bye for now.